Good afternoon, everybody. Light's going out, so I'm up. Who has been to my previous PowerShell sessions, this event? Okay. Well, this is a PowerShell-related session, but there will be no code in there. So I classified this as a level 300 session, because it's more about the architecture and the big picture Microsoft is going towards. And they're not yet, but they're very close. So for the people that don't know me, I'm Jeff Wouters from the Netherlands, Windows PowerShell MVP, work at eVision Software. I do something with PowerShell every now and then. And yeah, that's basically my work and my hobby. I also founded the Dutch PowerShell user group, but I always say I just founded the thing, and the people that are in it, they are the ones presenting and making it big. So it's been a busy week for me, 3 events, a lot of parties. So this is the last session, and who will not be at the closing party this evening? 4 or 5 people. Okay, too bad. Well, maybe next year. So a little bit of history. Who knows the hardware abstraction layer? More fingers than I was expecting, so that's good. With Windows XP, Microsoft introduced the hardware abstraction layer, which meant basically plug and play, in layman terms. So you plug it in, and it just works. So what they did was make an abstraction layer inside the operating system for the hardware. So a network interface card, each network interface card has a port. There goes a cable in there. It has some certain settings every single NIC has. So if you combine those things into an abstraction layer, you can make basic functionality of a network interface card always work. That also means that if you have those standards, you can configure them on every single network card. You don't need specific drivers from the vendors to configure those specific things. So Microsoft didn't do this alone. They collaborated with a lot of hardware vendors like HP, Dell, IBM, and together they created the hardware abstraction layer. The same they're doing right now with data center. So instead of taking one system, one device, they're looking at the entire data center stack, network cards, SANs, storage devices, local storage, server hardware, anything that's in a data center, they want to make an abstraction layer on top of it. And on top of the abstraction layer, you get the actual operating systems and the data. That would also mean that if it's Windows or Linux, it doesn't matter. You can manage it the same way. I'll get back to that. Anybody noticed that? I copy-pasted this from the website, official website from, I believe it was Microsoft. And I read it and I was like, somebody is a little bit behind on the times. But in those days, it was all about 32-bit operating systems. 64 just came around the corner. These days, we're annoyed when we find a 32 operating system, 32-bit. So Microsoft these days is always talking about the Cloud OS, Cloud Cadence, Cloud, 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 Cloud. But what is a cloud operating system? It's just a normal operating system with the scope and the scalability of a cloud. That's it. So there are a few problems when they envisioned the Cloud OS.
You want it scalable. You are and Moore's cloud marketing terms you can throw against it, but I'm not going to do that. So the old technologies were DCOM and WMI. I'm naming them specifically because WMI used DCOM. So those two are not very firewall friendly at all. Security, not so much. So instead of reinventing the wheel, they started looking inside the industry, and well, maybe there are some standards there. They found them. WSMan and SIM in this command, this case. So for each problem, they found an open standard solution, and if there wasn't any yet, they collaborated with other vendors to create them. So this is very different from Microsoft's previous approach. They used to invent the wheel, or reinvent the wheel. Right now, they're looking at SIM, for example. Who thinks WMI and SIM are two different things? Nobody? Because you'd be wrong. WMI is Microsoft's implementation of a SIM server. WMI was introduced back in Windows NT 4.0, I believe. So way back, when I was still like this big. SIM is an open standard. Microsoft looked at it and, well, it kind of does what you want, but not entirely. So let's implement it, change it a little, give it our own name. In the meantime, or last, 15 years, SIM has grown considerably. Many vendors, even Linux, has a SIM server in there. Arista, Cisco, switches, networking routers, they have SIM. So why not the Windows operating system? Why keep to WMI, which is not firewall friendly, not secure, not etc. So that was also part of the main reason to switch to the open standards. So with the data center abstraction layer, they took a little bit of a different approach. No start from scratch, and not advancing proprietary standards. So what they could have done is taken WMI and built on top of that. So you've got a technology that does not totally do what you want. You make it do what you want. It doesn't comply anymore with the decent times. So let's build on top of that again. It sounds a little bit crappy to me. But and that's probably also what they thought. So they went into the industry and they found solutions. And that's the funny thing. Solutions Linux has been using for more than 15 years already. But so standards-based management is something with the OMI data center abstraction layer and PowerShell, you'll hear quite a lot. PowerShell is very heavily into open standards. The reason? One shell to rule all operating systems. That's the goal. They did have a problem. They embraced the data center abstraction layer. They collaborated with HP, with other vendors. They defined the data center abstraction layer. They implemented it in Windows. But then you have to convince the entire industry that this is what they want. Well, that sounds a little bit like a doctor. Yeah, you've got a headache. You don't know it yet, but you've got one. So that's difficult to do. Convincing a patient or an industry he has a problem he isn't truly aware of. Luckily, some bigger vendors were aware of the problem, and they were happy to integrate it. And yeah, people and industries are sheep animals. When one goes, the other will follow. Microsoft in Server 2012, I believe, not 2012 or 2, maybe 2012 or 2,
they introduced the physical computer system view commandlets, PCSV. So with these commandlets, you can configure, you can make configuration changes that are independent from the target. So if your target is a Linux operating system, or it is a router, or a Windows operating system, it doesn't matter. And that's all through open standards, because they're all using it. Who has ever written a commandlet function or script in another language where you have to query, well, what are you? In case you are this, you have to do this. In case you are this, you have to do something else, etc. 1, 2, 3. Bingo? 4. Anybody? Okay. So the goal is to make that type of programming obsolete. And programmers would love this. So the data center abstraction layer, you've got Windows or Linux or whatever operating system you like. The data center abstraction layer is underneath it. And then comes the actual hardware, the physical server hardware, if you like, the storage, the networking, etc. So for the operating system, it has one interface, one. Why is? Hypervisor. I think. Good point. Services, applications. I could imagine a hypervisor, but a hypervisor would also go on top of computer and storage, because a hypervisor needs either hardware or storage. So, good question. I'll get back to you. This event. Yeah, I think what you're expecting is that the OS services, applications, etc., they need hardware, they need software, networking, etc. So you're expecting the hardware and software to go underneath it. But as the drawing is, the data center abstraction layer is the abstraction layer for all the things under it, so also the hypervisor. And that would mean that if you're running Hyper-V or VMware, it shouldn't matter for manageability. Or who uses a Linux hypervisor? Good answer. So in case we had no data center abstraction layer, each vendor would have to come up with their own solution. And guess what? Those solutions don't talk to each other. So, who has ever migrated from, let's say, Alteryx to Config Manager? Or one deployment solution to another? Okay. NDS to Active Directory. So, without standards, you would have to script or manually create those links. You have to say, well, this object links to a certain type of object over here, and it has to be migrated. Instead, vendors would use open standards, do it the same way. On the background, you can do it your own way. We don't care. But make the abstraction layer, that's where a developer or a scripter can talk against, and we don't care how you solve it. Also, using those open standards, information becomes inter-exchangeable. Without a DEL, it isn't. So, design state configuration uses MOF files. System Center Orchestrator uses MOF files. Config Manager, to my knowledge, not, but don't pin me on that.
But MOF files for configuration management, I think, are very useful. And Chef, Poplet, Chocolaty are also using it. So more and more vendors. And if they are all using the same standards, this information becomes inter-exchangeable between products. So moving away from a certain product to another, or you've got your system integrator, you define the standard for whatever you're building. You go to a customer, they have solution A. You implement your MOF files, run. Customer 2, solution B. Implement MOF files, run. It suddenly becomes easy. And I like doing things once. I hate rework. Maybe that's why I've become a scripter, but oops. So heterogeneous, I like that word, cloud management. Let's say you've got Azure or Amazon Cloud. We don't care. That's the main goal. So the data center abstraction layer, these are only three of the open standards they're using. SMASH is for server hardware, SMIS, anybody knows a little bit of storage? Storage open standard. SIM, common information model. As it says, common information, so it applies to anything. We'll get a picture in a few slides. Well, I'll explain that, how important SIM is in this whole picture. So the goal of Dell, unified management, I talked about that, and the abstraction, we talked about that too. So the next step, we've got the data center abstraction layer, but data center abstraction is just the abstraction of the operating system with the underlying hardware. Management is the next step. That's where open management infrastructure, OMI, comes from. It's a DMTF open standard support, and DMTF is a company, all they do is think of open standards. That's it. So Intel, HP, Huawei, Microsoft, Cisco, they're all part of DMTF. They have all representatives, and together, they create the open standards. So there's not one company that dominates above all others. There's not one company to rule them all. OMI has a small system support, so it's not they're supporting small systems, but the OMI system is very small. I'll get back to that on a table where I'm giving you the values of how big it is, how many KBs. You'll be surprised. It's an easy implementation for developers. So because it's an open standard, and it's the same standard for all of them, you don't have to write your code for specific routers or switches. You can just use these open standards and do it once. Remote manageability. And this one is fun. API compatibility with WMI. So it automatically links the API to the WMI object, and the system does the work for you. You don't have to figure out what matches with which, and that's not fun to do. Let the system do it. Now it can. Support for SIM EDA. So Visual Studio users are very happy with this. And optional PowerShell support. You don't have to do it. IT pros would like it. And over the last few years, and I think in the coming years, because Jeffrey Snover has talked about it, Microsoft, the PowerShell product team, is investing more and more in PowerShell from a developer perspective. Over the last 8 years, they've invested heavily in the IT pros. We're happy, we love it. But don't forget, PowerShell is a management shell. It's not a developer shell. That's a little bit of mindset. So I'm waiting with anticipation what they're going to do for the developers. It's extensible. So vendors can extend upon it. And SIM is basically a library of classes. And who knows a little bit about molecules, chemistry? One finger, two, that's it? Come on, know your nature. So let's say you've got an electron, a proton, and a neutron. Together they form a molecule. Call them your base classes. A carbon and a hydrogen molecule together make carbon dioxide. Two oxygens, but okay. So in that way, you can modular, very granular, you can build classes. First define your bases, your neutrons, your electrons, etc., and build on top of that. And guess what? The SIM library already has those. You don't have to define the molecules anymore, the base classes. And with SIM programming, you can say, well, this is my base class, I want to build on top of this, and what I'm building differs from this class in these ways. So you don't have to define the entire class again, you just have to say, this is my reference, and this is how I differ from it. And you build your class. Less work. Me likey. So it has a next generation provider interface. I had to look it up what they meant. With next generation, they mean it's more friendly. It's easier to use. It's, guess what, extensible. And I've got a schema from it in a drawing. The generation of provider skeletons, OMI Gen, and provider registration tool, OMI Reg. So you generate something, and it's automatically registered with the SIM class, as a SIM class, in the SIM library. You don't have to do that also again. Just one method to call, it does it. Generation of concrete SIM class data structures and the code. It's also something you don't have to do anymore. And OMI is also for embedded and mobile systems. Like I said, the server object size is less than 250 KB. That's OMI, 250 KB. That's it. A mobile device can detect that easily. Even my smartphone can do it. A smartwatch, sorry. So the server implemented entirely in the C language. The provider interface also. So it's very low level on the system. That's why it gets its power. It is a repository-less server. So there's no repository. I mentioned it. Because it's easier to understand when you see it as a repository, but it isn't. It's more like a library dictionary thing. Concrete provider classes yield less code. That basically comes to what I said with the classes. You say what you're a reference of, and then you define what's the difference. Less code. And very important, it's a diskless operation. SIM works fully from memory. No IOPS. WMI, has anybody written a very nice big WMI script? Trust me, IOPS, a lot of it. WMI, DCOM, some people say it has security, I say it doesn't. So, because OMI uses WSMan, SIM uses WSMan, you can use HTTPS. SSL, you can use certificates on it. HTTP basic authentication, local authentication,
pluggable authentication module, but also run as. This is where PowerShell comes along. You can run as something else. Well, like I said, 250 KB footprint and 1 megabyte of working set in the RAM. Megabyte. Nobody's surprised by that. How large is Windows? Come on. How many gigs? In your RAM? What the hell are you doing? So, the Windows operating system itself, thank God, it's not 9 gigabytes in the RAM, but on disk, probably pretty close, yes. 1 megabyte in the RAM is like going back to the 386 computers or something. Back when you were happy when you had 5 MB of RAM. Oh, thank you. That's cool. Commodore 64. I don't even remember that. Okay. Okay, so back. OMI is part of DMTF, that's open standards. But the open group has defined the OMI framework on top of those open standards. So the open group is also not one vendor, not one company. Yeah, it's one company, but it consists out of multiple vendors, multiple representatives again. So do you see where I'm aiming at? Big vendors working together. Would you have expected that 15 years ago? So, the picture. In the middle, OMI server. In other words, the SIM server. Everything else is built around SIM. All the DMTF standards are depending on SIM. And trust me, they have a lot, more than 20. So SIM is key here. The OMI client interface, CLI, or an application, or WinRM, which is talked to by an application, these can talk to SIM server. But SIM server is just an entity. It doesn't do anything to the system. That's why it has providers. And here's where we get the OMI gen and OMI rec. The MOF file goes to the MOI gen. It creates a provider. The code is automatically generated. The OMI provider goes to the OMI rec, and it registers to the SIM server. Hey, I've got here a provider. Here's its manifest. This is what it does. You can use it now. And also, there's an OMI agent, which also talks to providers, which goes back to the OMI rec and can register another provider. So there's a whole framework in there to make it safe. Dependable. And who thinks WMI is dependable? Okay, better yet, question. Who has ever broken WMI? Okay. I think it's still possible to break it. Anything can be broken if you try it. It becomes more difficult to do it. It's more robust. So this is a piece, and a small piece of the DMTF standards. Again, you've got SIM, schema, and infrastructure in the center. Everything else is built around it. So WMI BEM, it's a group of multiple management standards, management protocols even. And together, they can manage just about anything DMTF thinks about. So if you implement WBEM, you're not done, but you're pretty darn close.
This is a question I received a few weeks ago from somebody. Yeah, Linux has opened Pegasus. These are a few comparisons. Open Pegasus 800 KB, OMI 150. That's a factor of 53. And if you look at all those values, WMI is smaller. I haven't tested performance yet, but I could imagine it's just as fast or faster. And don't forget, Open Pegasus is a technology they had to, the open standards, they had to define, because back in those days, 15, 20 years ago, there were no open standards. So it's a technology that has been developed 15, 20 years ago and is still in use. One benefit, it has SIM. And PowerShell desired state configuration, for example. I don't know if anybody has seen the announcement, but DSC can manage Linux. Microsoft managing Linux natively. What's going on here? So the goal of WMI. Like I said, hell freezes over. Microsoft is managing Linux. By the way, also Huawei and Cisco. So the goal of this is not only to make Microsoft products or Microsoft admins be able to manage Linux, but also the other way around. There are solutions out there like Chef, it runs on Linux, and they got those guys are right now implementing desired state configuration into their product to have a Linux management solution, configuration management solution, to manage, well, Linux, they've done that before, they know it, but also Windows. And that's the goal. It doesn't matter what operating system you're running, what configuration management tool you're running. You should be able to configure and manage anything. So, as always, a few useful links, or homework, as I would like to call it. Open management infrastructure. I've put a link in there where you can read what it is. Open management project, which includes the open management infrastructure. That's a little bit bigger. Open Pegasus is also included in there. And that's where they tell, well, wait a sec, this is kind of a legacy technology over here. Maybe OMI is better. And DMTF with the data center abstraction layer. And I first heard about the OMI in a blog post from Jeffrey Snover. I believe that's the second link. He mentioned the data center abstraction layer and DMTF. So I went on the website of DMTF. It's not very user-friendly, by the way, I have to say, but you can read a lot on it, and then you'll see what they were doing. And they also have a very nice list of what they are working on currently, and what's on their to-do list. And you may want to read those if you're very interested into unified management, and then you'll see where they're aiming at. And it's not a one solution fits all, because then one solution will have pure dominance, but the ability for a solution to do all. They're not choosing a solution, they're offering options for a solution to make use of. Are there any questions? It's native of the operating system. You don't have to enable feature whatsoever. It's there.
You know, it's not an easy topic, but I'm wondering if there is a good example for PowerShell DSC where SIM is used in the background already.
Yeah. So a good example where DSC is using SIM in the background to manage Linux, whatever. Microsoft has written a few DSC resources to manage Linux already. It's in there. Bartek Bilowski, he's a
Polish Windows PowerShell MVP, currently working and living in the Netherlands. He has written a blog post series about using SIM and desired state configuration to manage Linux. And he's using plain SIM code. Oh, by the way, on the one of the three links, there's also quite a few PowerShell sample codes when they're explaining this, how you can do it. It's not very intuitive if you're used to WMI. So copy, paste, learn from it.
So I saw the announcement of the ability to manage switches using PowerShell. Is it based on that idea?
Bingo. So all the announcements about, we're working with Huawei, we can now manage their switches, and Cisco, and HP hardware, etc. That's all because of this. And the hardware abstraction layer, was back in Windows XP. The data center abstraction layer, they've been working on for more than 5 years already. So that's really a long-term vision. And I wouldn't say they're taking that time, but they're taking their time to do a solid base infrastructure for this and then build on top of it. That's also Azure and Amazon Cloud have two different approaches. Amazon has chosen to, right out of the box, start supporting a heck of a lot of options. And that's useful for them. It's working. Azure, on the other hand, has chosen to invest first heavily in the infrastructure and then build on top of it. And has anybody looked at Azure the last 2 years? How many features are in there? And each release in Azure, each iteration, more and more and more and more. With the Dutch PowerShell user group, Jeffrey Snover has had a talk with us about his history building PowerShell. And there was a first try. In his second try, he invested heavily in the engine, in the WMI part, in a sort of a commander generator kind of thing. And then he generated in his Christmas holiday more than 200 commandlets. So that's also with projects and anything I do. So, invest heavily in the preparation, in the base, and the rest becomes easy. Easier. Any more questions? In that case, I believe I've got 2 slides left. Of course, please give me feedback. And thank you.